Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Welcome back to part two of The Guilty Feminist. So plug in and get ready for the fun. Hello, Melbourne. Are you ready for a little bit more Guilty Feminist? Then welcome back to the stage, Deborah Frances White and Celia Pakula. Hema Hall, what a wonderful audience you're being. You all right there, Celia?
Yep. Give me a second. I forgot my fit ball. I was genuinely going to bring.
Yes, that would have been wonderful. Is that like one of those balance balls you sit on?
Yeah.
To
turn everyone on. But I forgot it. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
I also make some new sounds now. That's fun.
Oh, I'm so excited to meet this bambino. You're doing so well. We were just reminiscing out the back that the last time Celia and I worked together, she just started doing Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
And she was saying, oh, it's like he's teaching a fridge to walk.
And then I won it.
I know. First comedian to ever win it.
First comedian to win it, yeah. Thank you. And we talked about it and won $50,000 for Safe Steps, which I talked about in Guilty Feminist.
Yes.
My charity.
Absolutely extraordinary.
It's very good.
You're first comedian to win it. Not that comedians are bad at dancing. It's just normally like an ice skater or something at because they've already brought other skills to it.
Yeah, comedians are absolutely bad at dancing.
I mean, yeah, they are. But somehow you were just... Obviously, I couldn't watch the show in Britain, but I could watch all the clips every week, so I would wait till the clips came out. And you were
incredible. Bizarre. No one watched it. Like, it was dovetailed right into the start of the pandemic. Do you remember that? Like, it was the beginning of 2020. And there was one episode, because it's live, so we went from having, like, no audience, and there was me and Jared waiting to do a jive, right? And Amanda and... What's his face? Bugalugs. Short guy. Fuck. Jenya, thank you. I can't remember. We're about to... They're like, and now he's just... Oh, hang on. And they had to cut the feed to cross live to Scott Morrison doing an emergency broadcast about shutting down the schools. It was like being in an Independence Day film because it was like...
Oh, my
God. The world's going to burn. It's going to be just like terror for 5 minutes. And we're all sitting on the dance floor just waiting, not knowing how long it's going to go for. And then it ended, and then they just came back and went... Celia and Jared.
No.
And I said to Jared, I'm like, Jared, there's a bunch of kids who watch this show who'll be fucking scared the shit out of right now. Yeah. We need to dance our fucking asses off.
Yes.
For the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids,
for
right?
The kids. And for the children.
I have never danced better in my life. We got a perfect score. Oh, no shit.
Wow.
You know?
It just goes to show all you need is an impending disaster.
To it was
raise
just
your game. You're probably looking around and was the world burns going, oh, how am I going to do it? You think of Celia Pakula.
Dancing. It was just a
jive
bizarre,
like you've never jived before.
It was a bizarre time. I like. And then the fittest I've ever been in my whole life. And then boom, 2 years on the couch. Blammo. Back to normal. Well,
do you miss the dancing?
I kind of do. It was fun. It was hard work, but it was fun getting up every day and going, what am I doing today? Dance. cool, that's it. Like, yeah, that was my whole day job.
You know, inspired by you, I did in the pandemic, I think partly inspired by you, yeah, I did, because I saw you doing it, and then I thought...
Fuck, she could do it.
No, no, I hate it when people say that. I hate it when people go, somebody passed me a message and said, I had a comedy bit that I was doing on a tour a couple of years ago, where I would end up coming out, like, in a swimsuit, and, like, I had trousers on over the top, but it was, like, a bit, it was a comedy bit. Uh-huh. And somebody said... My friend said she didn't want to wear a swimsuit, and then she saw you, and she was really... I was like, what the fuck? I'm really hot. I was like, I'm not your swimsuit inspiration. I want you to look at me and go, no, I can't pull that off.
I can't. I cannot follow that.
I was genuinely mystified by that comment, though. I was like, in what world do you think...
That's what made me feel good.
Is confused by the comment.
I mean, I just think it's smart. You're cold, tracks your part, best of both worlds, you know?
Maybe that's
Am I going to bed? Am I going for a swim? Who knows?
Yeah, well, maybe that's what she was saying, that I was like, I had a full piece. It was a sparkly full piece swimsuit with trousers over the top. And maybe she just thought, I don't know. I don't know what she thought, but I was very insulted.
I could not do that right now with the amount I'm peeing. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Like, I wore a jumpsuit on a plane the other day, and yeah, and I realised that's why you don't. But look, I was so amazed by you dancing. And just, you know, when I came out, it was really inspired by you, because we did the show in Melbourne together, and you were like, I've never done anything like this before, and, you know, I'm really enjoying it. And then I started watching, and I was like, oh, my God, she's really good. So my pandemic ritual was get up, because I thought otherwise... Like, I just might
You'll
not
be
get
in bed
up.
All day.
Yeah, and then I'll work all night, and I'll get depressed, and I won't move at all. Because we were legally allowed only to move... We were only legally allowed out of the house once a day for a walk. Which, you know, it makes you be nice to your partner, because, you know, if you have a horrible rat, you can only legally storm out once a day. Yeah. And then you're just stuck with them in terrible silence.
Yeah.
So I thought, right, to get us both out of bed, he would get out of bed and put the Zoom on and to my dance teacher... And I would dance for 2 hours every morning. And that was because otherwise I thought I just... Not, the first hour was to make up for the fact that I wasn't doing the normal running around. The second hour was to try and get fit. And I can do a pirouette now.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Pirouette? But
that's right. That's right, my friends. I can do a pirouette.
Show us!
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. All right. Okay.
Say peer pressure is a bad thing. Pirouette. She just said that wasn't my best one. Is the best one you go into the ground or you go into the sky?
It wasn't a good landing, but, you know...
That was amazing!
On the spot. I've seen you dance and win Dancing with the Stars.
No, but that's incredible. But also, during lockdown, the fact that you got up every day and did 2 hours of dancing, do you know what I did every day? Put a bra on. That was it.
I didn't always do that.
But that was only my you have to, just so I could differentiate between day and night. You know? I'm like,
I know that feeling.
What's happening? It's data.
I know that feeling. Have you heard anything about birth? Like, what have you heard?
Have you heard anything about birth?
Because I've heard a few things, and I don't like the sound of it.
No, I did a couple of classes, and I'm a bit concerned about the exam.
The final exam.
I don't know if I could cheat off someone else in the exam.
Wouldn't that be great? Could you get someone to take it for you?
Yeah, that'd be really good. Look, there's so much, and I know there's a lot of... It's one of those weird things where... Someone said, it's like doing a university degree. Like, there's just so much that I had no goddamn idea was even a thing. Oh, this will be fun for you, though. So I did the classes, 2 weekends, 8 hours... with my partner. There was 3 other couples in this class of the pregnant women. 2 of them were nurses. 1 of them was a midwife and me.
That seems very unfair.
So they're
but
like,
but you did win Dancing with the Stars. Did
no,
you,
but
did
they're
you
talking
overtake
about
them?
Birth stuff, and they're like, And I'm like, bursting into tears, crying. I didn't know, you know, it was a huge shock to me, but they were like, it's fine. But it's going to be fine. I imagine. Like, what's your birth plan? My birth plan is this outside.
Yeah. I reckon it'll happen because it just does seem to happen one way or another. It's not like, you know how finishing a screenplay or something is really hard? You know, like you wrote Rosehaven, it's really hard. You get to a certain point, you think, oh, why did we start this? I can't work the story out. Should we just stop, right?
Yeah.
With Birth, I reckon it's harder than writing a sitcom, but with a sitcom, you've always got the option to stop. And with Birth, it will happen.
That's what I feel like.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't need self-discipline.
This is why the roller coaster thing seems right. And also, I do want to say...
Roller coaster thing? You're not giving birth on a roller coaster.
No. It feels like what it feels like is because there's been a bunch of people ahead of me, and then it feels like they're on the carts above, about to go over the top, and you just watch them disappear and you don't know. And at the moment, everyone I knew who was ahead of me has already gone. So it's like I'm at the front of the line of a water slide, just like, oh, shit, can't get out of it now. Yeah. But I will say I'm very like I also have so many people in my life who are, you know, there's so many different ways to make a family and how hard it is. A lot of people are really struggling to make it. So I'm very grateful. I've had a very minimally difficult pregnancy so far. So my genuine plan is, you know, and also because you get told the scary stories, but it's really important to listen to the positive stories. And it's, you know.
What are those though? I've never heard one of those. The positive birth stories.
Yeah.
Like what? Like I had it in my sleep. Woke up, was just there.
Well, have you spoken to Felicity Ward? Felicity Ward says it's the most punk rock thing she's ever done. And she was fine. Boom, straight out. No tears.
Wow. That's quite Felicity Ward though, isn't it?
Yeah.
She would stride around the stage and it would just sort of...
She did it with heels on.
She did not. No. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me though. Listen, I have every faith that baby's going to be out next time I see you. And we're going to hear so many brilliant stand-up routines about what it's like to have a newborn baby and then a toddler. And I'm as excited really about the shows we're going to get from it as you are about the baby.
I really don't know. Like, honestly, and this is why this is really nice and I say this genuinely, I really don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know if I'll come back to stand-up. I don't know. I'm doing like writing and other things and stuff, but I might want to start. I don't know. This is what it's thinking.
You're
it's
such
trying
a
to
natural.
Prepare.
I get it. And listen, if you retire from stand up, we will be grateful for the body of work we had. However, I feel that even if you're not doing stand up anywhere else, when the Guild of Feminists comes to town, we'll be able to lure you out of retirement.
I mean, but I might be doing burlesque. I might go into politics. Who knows? This is the thing. Is I'm currently trying to prepare for something you can't prepare for, and I'm very much aware that I might be a completely different person, so everything is up for grabs. Maybe I'll be a celebrity chef. I think
you're going to become a teal candidate.
A teal? Maybe I'll be a teal candidate, Maria.
We'd
free?
Vote for Celia Piccola, wouldn't we? We would campaign, we would vote. Teal candidate.
I mean, I do look good in teal. That's a terrible platform, isn't it? Vote for me because this colour shows off my eyes.
All right, we need to bring on our guests. Our first guest tonight is an award-winning musician, writer and disability advocate. I'm going to say that again for the podcast. They'll never know I screwed that up. Eliza Hull is an award... Oh, I've said her name now. That's meant to say it to the end. It's here, but I never say it to the end. Right, listen, this is what you get if you come live. You see some of the mistakes and you're like, wow, we're seeing stuff that those people at home will never see.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home and put on bathers and tracksuit pants because now I know.
I wasn't wearing tracksuit pants.
Oh.
I was wearing...
Is anyone else picturing tracksuit pants?
I was wearing Vivienne Westwood black trousers over a full-piece swimsuit.
Why?
No one had any business being inspired by it. Only intimidated. I'm still angry. I'll never let that go. I'll be on my deathbed thinking about that. Okay. Oh, God. Listen, if you were at home, you wouldn't get these moments. You might be thinking, next time I'll stay home. Our first guest is an award-winning musician, writer, and disability advocate. Her music has been described as stirring, captivating, and heartfelt. She is regularly played on radio and tours nationally and internationally. She is a proud disabled person with a physical condition, Charcot-Marie-Tooth, and consults on accessibility in the music industry. Recently, she was awarded the Music Victoria Amplify Award, the APRA Mentorship for Women in Music, and the National Leadership Award from the Australia Council and Art Access Australia. She was also the recipient of the Australian Women in Music Award. She recently released the book We've Got This, Stories by Disabled Parents, and has a children's book coming out in September, If You Weren't Feeling Like She Was Doing Enough. Please put your hands together and welcome to the mic the incredible Eliza Hull. Eliza, that was absolutely stunning. That was absolutely breathtaking. Oh, really, really wonderful. Absolute chills. Now, before we talk about it, we have to introduce our next guest. She is one of Australia's foremost songwriters and vocalists. As one quarter of the band All Our Exes Live in Texas, she has toured Australia, the UK, the US, and Europe multiple times. Critically acclaimed the world over, the band won both the 2017 ARIA Award and the 2017 AIR Award for Best Blues and Roots Album. As a solo artist, she has a reputation as a remarkable performer and a sought-after session vocalist and musician, recording for TV, film, and on many songwriters' albums in a variety of genres. Put your hands together and make incredible woohooing noises, and welcome to the mic, Georgia Mooney!
Hello. I just feel like I have to say, it feels so sacrilegious to play a keyboard on piano sound in Hamer Hall. Like, there's a Steinway in every dressing room, and I feel like they're all just collectively thinking, who the fuck let this riff-raff in? Anyway. Ha, suckers. So... This is a song about being powerless to someone's charms, despite knowing it's quite bad for you. Yeah. After another weekend of antagony, I'm out in disguise, feigning spark. And shameless self-certainty. I need the wolf for my eyes. Long nights I've laid awake, penning stories and songs for the sake of one day you'll come apart with a full change of heart. Break it off, break it off. Sunset won't dawn, pull the pin and be gone. Break it off, break it off. I know I'll never have the heart to leave you if I'd known, if I'd known, if I'd known, if I'd known, if I'd known.
Break it up.
Georgia Murney, everybody. Oh, you are both absolutely incredible. This feels like such a wonderful venue to hear your music in, and I feel really privileged to have been sitting on the stage when that was going on. Can I ask you, firstly, I'd love to come to you, Eliza, and ask you, what was that? Could you talk us through what that song was about?
Yeah, so the song's called Running Underwater, and it's about being disabled. I have a physical disability. It's called Charcot-Marie-Tooth. Has nothing to do with my teeth, which has been quite unfortunate that every time I've said that out loud, people look at my teeth. It has nothing to do with my teeth. It's a neurological condition that affects the way I walk. I fall over a lot. I can't get upstairs. This song was really about feeling proud, actually, of having a disability, which has taken a very long time. And I've only started to feel really proud of my identity as disabled in the last, say, 5 or so years. And this was about that, feeling the weight of hiding and feeling the weight of having to always sit down and hide and hope that nobody would see the way that I walk. And then feeling like, actually, I'm tired of that and I don't want to hold that weight anymore, and I want to start speaking about it. And not only do I want to start speaking about it, I want to change the way that disabled people are represented and underrepresented.
Yes. The visibility is everything, isn't it? Because it's part of the story, a part of the story of you being this beautiful singer-songwriter, and it's part of your humanity. I always think about Hannah Gadsby saying that story holds our cure. And I feel it really does. And I feel like one of the ways that storytelling can be done in the most elevated way, in fact, is music. And I don't know, do you ever think this, Celia? Mm. I was like, I love doing comedy, but then, I feel pretty good about it, you know? And then I watch a musician,
yep,
like a singer-songwriter, and I just sit there and think, I have no talent.
What's the point? What's the point?
Like, that is a whole
it's a skill that I do not possess at all. And also, it's just, as much as I appreciate and love the power of the spoken word, there's something and a place that music can touch that words can't, you know?
Totally.
It's
another level. Really, like, yeah, instantly you can make us feel something.
So basically you're here because we'd like some lessons.
Let's start at the beginning.
Do you know, the only reason I would have a baby... wouldn't that be great, though, if this just became... The rest of the show was the whole of The Sound of Music.
Would love.
Bags Gretel.
I was going to do the yodel bit. I won't do it. Yeah.
The only reason I would have a baby is so she would be a singer-songwriter. Like, what if inside of you now you have Janis Joplin?
Well, my partner's a musician, so she getting lessons, not from me. I'll be...
And you can teach her the Dancing with the Stars moves.
Yeah. As long as she's not a comedian and I don't care.
Yeah. No, listen, it's also a wonderful thing to be. It's just, you just watch it and you just go, you just feel everyone floating.
It's incredible. Like, that was so good. And you're so, I mean, because you do, that was one of your solo...
Yeah.
Songs.
Seems quite vacuous after Eliza's, I've got to say.
Yes, actually. No, of course. No, it's beautiful. It was incredible. I wanted to ask you, because you're part of the band All Our Exes Live in Texas, which has got to be one of the best-named bands ever. Mm-hmm. Up there with the Shania Choir as well. Do you know the Shania Choir, where people dress up like Shania Twain and sing Shania Twain songs? Yeah.
I feel like, though, a Shania Twain tribute choir... Mm. Doesn't quite have the cachet of All Our Exes Live in Texas.
No. You beat them, but it's still quite good. I think we can all agree Shania Choir is also delicious.
But we're not comparing you, and we just need to be clear about that. But listen, would you like to join the Shania Choir on the side?
Oh, my gosh, so much. That would be heaven.
How did you go... How was your group formed?
Well... Can I also just say, All Our Exes Live in Texas was a last-minute decision, and we did not expect to have it 10 years on.
The name or the group itself?
No, the name.
Oh, right.
So you wanted to do the band, but somebody pitched the name as a joke, and then you've got it forever.
Well, we needed to think of a name in a hurry, and so we Googled the worst country song titles of all time. And there's some great ones. It's worth a Google. There's things like... Dropkick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life.
Oh.
That's cool.
I want to start a band just so it can be called that now.
I feel like, why do I feel like I've seen this list? Is one of them, how can I miss you if you'll never go away?
That's one of them.
Oh.
It's been, I didn't write that, but I don't know why I've read this list.
It's been lonely in my saddle list? Since my horse died.
There's also her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure.
Which is nice.
What was the saddle one?
It's been lonely in the saddle since my horse died.
Oh, yeah. This is a line, so my ex should do that, but is into country music, so I was like, and there was, I don't know if it's a line or an actual song, which is save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Bit of fun.
No.
Because also, I'm thinking about it, nothing much rhymes with exes. Like, it's very, it's like, all our exes live in, that's it, they have to be in Texas.
Well, truth is, all our exes live in Brunswick, which is not the same. Snazzy.
But you, can I ask, you've been labelled a girl band just because you're women in a band.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
It was a very interesting thing that we noticed shortly after we formed the band. Every article, every review, every interview mentioned in the first sentence that we were a girl band or that we were an all-female band. And we found ourselves, first of all, thinking it was quite weird. Like, none of our male friends in bands are called boy bands unless they are the Backstreet Boys.
Sure. One Direction.
Just checking, you don't actually know the Backstreet Boys, do you?
We actually toured with the Backstreet Boys.
You shut up!
What?
We did.
What?
I know.
You know Joey Fat One.
That's a different band, mate.
Oh, fuck. NSYNC. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
That's embarrassing for me.
Okay, lock the
doors. For a lot of reasons, that's embarrassing for me.
So many. Lock the doors the rest of the night. We're in here till 4 a.m. and we're just grilling you about the Backstreet Boys. That's the full...
Fun with it, to be honest.
There was a moment when backstage with the Backstreet Boys, when I was walking next to the security guard and we were walking together and he said, look, we're in sync.
Oh!
Bit of fun.
The greatest pun of all time. And you were there to see it. Yeah. That's this, you know.
But to answer your question, yes, we noticed that we were called a girl band constantly and thought it was a bit strange because on the one hand, yeah, we wanted to celebrate the fact that we were all women and it was quite, this was 9 years ago. But you look so young. And
how is that possible? Because your mum brought you here tonight.
Yeah, she actually did.
My mum.
And then on the other hand, yeah, it sort of felt annoying. We just wanted to be a band. So it was a weird, I don't know.
It's interesting because I'm trying to learn it. Because when I first thought that, I went, what's wrong with girl band? But of course it is. You will not get, like... Yeah. Girl band is a term, but then you think of pop group.
Yeah,
like
we weren't singing
or...
to become one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't call Midnight Oil a boy band.
Yeah.
That would be so weird. We'd also get a lot of questions like, what's it like touring with all girls? And when are you going to break up? Because girl bands always break up.
And are you in sync?
Hey!
Yeah.
Hey! Two great in sync puns in the one night.
I know.
For no extra money, Melvin.
Joey's sitting up in his bed like, someone's talking about me.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Can I ask you, Eliza, what are the things that you would like to have changed about the way that you are represented in music or you see other women being represented in music?
That's a good question. I think just represented, full stop, is the number one, because disabled people are generally not represented on TV, in film, in music. And yet disabled people are actually twice as likely statistically to create music.
Really?
But, yeah.
Twice as likely?
Twice as likely.
Why is that?
Well, I think we're, you know, potentially we have a lot to say. We're expressive potentially. But often we're not visibly seen. And that is because there are so many barriers to even get into a venue, even get up onto a stage. And so that's the changes that I want to see. In terms of women, I think often women aren't even credited as songwriters or as producers, often not believed that they're the ones that are actually making the music and producing the music. So, and also just, again, underrepresented. And often, especially, like there's a lot of ageism in the music industry. And so when women especially have children or get older, are generally not on radio and not seen as viable, whereas men, I don't know what it is, but men are often...
Oh, yeah, like Bono's got loads of children.
Exactly,
is
represented.
Is there something to do with the amount of touring that's involved in music for women having families and that causing complications?
I think so. And look, again, for disabled people, I think the music industry, because it is so inaccessible and by having a disability it can make it harder to, you know, tour... That's often why we're not seeing that representation. But I just recently was on a panel around mental health and it was on parenting. And I just said, why don't they have like some sort of childcare area backstage where children can come and actually be part of the music festival instead of, you know, not including families, not including mothers?
Can I say, I love it when I went to Blues Fest last year, but I love when you go to festivals and it's one of my favourite things in the world, you know, and they have the cart, when you see families there and you see children there and it's a beautiful thing, but particularly when you see babies with the massive headphones on.
I love that.
Which I know is to protect their ears from the loud music, but it looks like they're tiny baby DJs. Great. Just next
now
time
I'm gonna
you see it,
that.
You're like,
tiny baby DJ.
But I think it's one of those things, you know, because some people do it. You do see that they, but you need a support network to help you at gigs, looking after.
Yeah.
Does it start earlier that boys are encouraged to go and do garage bands and go and play in pubs, but there are barriers to doing those gigs, or, you know, there's a concern that they'll be sexually harassed, or, like, does it start earlier? Do we need to be... not just encouraging boys to play electric guitars and girls to do grade 7 piano and then do a little concert for their grandparents and, you know, go back to their room and play some John Lennon.
I think so. I definitely remember feeling, you know, in high school or it's much more normal for a boy to spend 8 hours in his bedroom playing guitar, whereas if a girl is doing that, you're sort of like, what are you doing? Come on, you've got to... be social, do more things. I find myself even still, and I think it's a female thing, even still I'll think I shouldn't practice the piano for too long. I should do some other more kind of serious, organised things. And I think, no, there's actually nothing better that I could do than practice the piano for too long. So I feel like, well, yeah, maybe we don't encourage girls in the same way to kind of like... do the 10,000 hours in your bedroom and, form those bands and start kind of young. That was a difference for me, I think.
Did you start young? Did you both start young?
Yeah, I started singing when I was five.
Five?
Yeah, you don't want to know what song that was.
What was it?
No, it's actually...
I do want to know.
I shouldn't have even said that.
I wouldn't have asked. I didn't even think about it.
Well, it's a horrible...
Now you've said I don't want to know, I definitely do.
Well, it was actually a song that was written by not a great man. So,
oh, yeah. I see. Speaking of not great men, the Me Too movement really took off in Hollywood, but didn't catch fire in the same way in the music industry. Do you know why? Do you have any theories as to why?
I think it's a really interesting thing to contemplate. Definitely when Me Too kicked off, the music industry responded in a big way. And I think in Australia, I can only really speak from Australia, but there were a lot of well-intentioned kind of groups started to gather evidence and for musicians to tell their stories and for planning to begin on how to address the issues and how to hold people to account. And then for one reason or another, a lot of that movement sort of fell away. And I think a big part of it is that the defamation laws in Australia are whack and heavily favour the person who is suing for defamation. And some pretty high-profile cases happened where, you know, they didn't go perhaps as they should have. And I think that's put a lot of people off. There's also... I feel like in the music industry we didn't have the same sort of huge names coming forward. Like there were big film stars which gained a lot of media attention who were saying things, and there wasn't quite the same movement with musicians. And I think part of that is because, you know, it's not a matter of I made a film with a director a couple of years ago. Often the problem might be this is a label boss or an executive in a company with whom I have a contract for 10, 20 years. And so the stakes are really high, I think.
Whereas you go from movie to movie, music's still like the old Hollywood system where you'd be signed to Warners or something and then you were stuck with them. So you didn't want to it could be career
for some
ending.
People, yeah. So I think weighing up the cost of do I potentially severely endanger my career, which is already pretty hard to make a living from, and speak up, or do I just sort of allow someone else to do it?
In saying that, though, there was some incredible women coming forward, underground and in Australia, like Jaguar Jones, who spoke up and...
Yeah.
And Denlis Hanlon has been sacked and now a female is at the top of Sony, which is a huge, huge step forward.
Yeah, that's going to be massive.
And just on a gigging day-to-day level, have you noticed a change in the environment? Are there more conversations? Is there, you know, is it seemingly...
Yeah, look, I think it's a safer space. I don't know if you feel that, Georgia, but I mean, I've been in the industry for a little while and I remember driving down the freeway and singing Sheryl Crow's Every Day is a Winding Road and thinking that I was going to go and be a superstar. And my mom said, no, there's no chance because the music industry, I guess, you know, it's quite a scary environment, late nights. And she said, you have to go and get that uni degree. So I did. I enrolled and then just kept deferring every year to try and pursue my music. I did finally finish the degree. But, yeah, I guess... For me now, I do feel like it is a safer environment, and I guess that is why I'm speaking about disability. When I went to a producer, when I first moved to Melbourne, I remember him saying to me, just whatever you do, don't walk in the film clip. Don't show that you have a disability.
What?
And, yeah, now, like, I feel like I wouldn't, A, allow that to be said, and B, I don't feel like it wouldn't happen now. I feel like we are speaking about diversity. And that includes women and gender-diverse people, and the music industry is feeling definitely more equal, starting to anyhow.
Mm. What is it that the music industry could do better, and what is it that we as music lovers, or there may be some people in the music industry in the audience, can do to help?
In terms of disability? I feel like the first thing is venues... simply need to list what accessibility they have in their venue so that it's not up to disabled people having to get on the phone and ring and say, can I get into your venue? Do you have an accessible toilet? Even listing if your venue is inaccessible is a good thing. Reaching out to bands and saying, what is your access rider, like you would for any kind of rider. Again, so it's not on the disabled person to have to constantly ask. And I guess in terms of, you know, website, making that accessible, social media, doing image descriptions for blind people, people that have low vision, captioning videos and stories, and so that, you know, people that are deaf, hard of hearing, are getting that message across. And represent, you know, just having representation. So buying music from disabled artists is such a big thing. Because without that, we don't feel like we can get our music out there, and we are so greatly underrepresented.
Can I ask, because I'm definitely going to buy it no matter what you say, but what's your children's book about?
It's called Come Over to My House, and it's about authentically portraying disabled people in the home.
Yes.
So inside each home, there is a child and or a parent with a disability, and what makes that home unique and interesting and fun is the fact that this person has a disability. And I think that that, again, is just wanting to enable more representation and enable more conversations, because I think a lot of young people and kids don't know how to talk about disability, and a lot fear and scare, because they're scared of disabled people. So my opinion is that the more conversations we have, that we reduce these stigmas.
Absolutely. I'm so into it, and starting early as well with the children's books is so great. So Nellie Thomas, I don't know if you've come across her, has a bunch of books for neurodiverse children, like some brains, some boys, some girls. They're really great. Mm. But just in a way, just starting as early as possible is such a fun and excellent way to start that conversation
and
with kids.
Make it ordinary.
Yeah.
You know, make it every day and not other. I would like to ask you, Georgia, what is it that we as music lovers could do for women in the music industry? It's increasingly hard to make money, isn't it, because we just stream everything off Spotify. Mm-hmm. How could we support you?
Well, I feel really positive about women in music at the moment, because I feel like there have been massive changes in terms of representation. And, you know, there's been surreal moments of actively... making sure that festivals have got a gender balance and lots of stuff. And now, you know, from when All Our Exes started, it was really rare that there was an all-female band. Now that they're everywhere and women are totally dominating the charts and it's the best ever. But obviously, yeah, consuming as much female music as possible is awesome. At the moment, I would say, because the pandemic has just been hell on so many levels, buying tickets to shows would be nice.
Yeah.
And buying vinyl, buying merch and that kind of thing, I think will really help. But definitely, yeah, going out and seeing music again, I think there's still some sort of nervousness there, understandably, but that'd be awesome.
Of course. But yes, buy the ticket, even if you don't go. Mm.
True, we just need the money.
And could you tell us about Supergroup?
Yeah, so Supergroup is a live concert series that I developed in 2019, pre-Pando, and it's about to do a tour along the East Coast for the first time. And essentially each night I invite three different guest songwriters to join me on stage, and we sit in a little semicircle, not unlike this, and we take turns to play songs and join in with one another, and we've got a house band behind us, so it's a big, full, awesome sound, and in between I interview everyone, and it's a real kind of showcase of a variety of musicians. Everyone's from, you know, a different musical or cultural background or a different stage in their career, and we sort of really talk about the way the songs were made and talk about experiences as musicians, and then sort of ask the question, what does it sound like if you combine a pop musician or a hip-hop artist and a folk artist. You know, they're all quite different, but we sort of speak this language, and it's quite fun to experiment with that how sounds that sounds.
Absolutely incredible.
It's fun.
I'm so excited to see that.
There are shows in Melbourbourne. Can I just quickly
plug
that so quickly? In Melbourne, we've got two shows. The first one is with Claire Bowditch.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh!
Here she is now.
What?
That's a Claire Bowditch I
prepared
earlier. Is that
Claire Bowditch right there? What are the chances? Genuinely, we didn't know that was going to happen. That's incredible.
And
I didn't say anything fucked about you, Claire.
Bob Evans, and we've also got Maple Glider. We've got Ryan Downey. We've got Moju, Ruby Gill.
Wonderful.
So come, it's at Brunswick Ballroom.
So Brunswick Hall, where all your exes live. All your exes will be there.
Yes.
So please Google and get tickets for Supergroup as much as possible. We do need to end our show very soon. So can I just ask you this one last question? Is there anything you came to say that you didn't get to say? That you want this audience to know? It could be something that you want to plug or just an idea around feminism and music. Anything at all that you came to say and you didn't get to say? Celia, anything you came to say and you didn't get to say?
No, I'm going to spend the rest of the night going, why did I say that thing I did say? I'm the opposite. I've got a few things I'd like to take back, actually.
Listen, you've been absolutely incredible. And the only thing you're plugging at the moment is your baby. So, no need to plug anything else.
No.
Georgia, anything you came to say you didn't get to say?
I love you, Deb.
Oh.
No.
Eliza, anything you came to say you didn't get to say?
I've got my book for sale here. We've got this, Stories by Disabled Parents, is out there to buy. So that's exciting.
Excellent,
and
buy that.
I love Claire Bowditch. Claire Bowditch, the quote is on
Claire
the front
Bowditch,
cover.
Is there anything you came to say you didn't get to say? Oh, bless you. And I did promise that if anybody had a project they needed help with, they could speak up now. So anyone just shout out if you've got a project. Yes, what's your project? Your friends is good, that's feminism, the sisterhood working. Is your friend not here? Do you mind just running up and saying it into the mic? Because otherwise the podcast audience at home won't hear it. So could you just run over there? See where that little green glow is. And just give us an elevator pitch of what you need and what we can do.
Hi, I'm Victoria.
Victoria.
I work with an organisation called Women's Environmental Leadership Australia. So your plug about the greenies calling out for people, totally where we're at. but basically our premise recognises, like, frankly, strongman, hero-led politics, business, civil society, not entirely working out for our environment or climate.
Not as much as we
anywhere.
Like it to be.
Collaborative, networked, bottom-up solutions, totally where it's at, kind of mirrors women's leadership. And so we want to see and support more women stepping into leadership for our environment. And anyone who wants to talk to us about that, we'd love to talk to you. And to the Teal Independents, who totally took it and just put that onto the national stage. Well done. Thank you. We salute
you. Thank you. Victoria, where can people... People can talk to you in the foyer, but where can they go online to join this?
Yeah, so Wella, W-E-L-A, wella.org.au. Come find us. We run leadership development for women who work on climate and environmental issues, and we want to support you and work with you and work out how we open doors for each other.
So does the woman already have to be in STEM in some way or in the environment to join your program?
Either voluntarily or working on this issue, if this is an issue you're passionate about and want to get involved in,
so they
let's
don't
talk.
Have to be a scientist?
No, no.
Okay.
There's lots of different ways.
So the one thing I will say is the end of the world isn't terrible for women. So it is a feminist issue. Just give us a cheer if you give a fuck about the planet. Give us a cheer if you're a woman who feels like you would like to lead the planet out of a disaster zone. Therefore, you are a woman who can lead. This is for you.
This isn't for somebody else who's better than you. This isn't for somebody else, your friend, who's so imperfect. This is for you. And you can lead. You can lead the energy of the room. People don't know that. They go into a room and they think, oh, this one, oh, no, I have to wait. No, anyone can change the energy of the room. You can change the energy of the room. So you need to get onto that website. Just say it one more time. Wella, W-E-L-L-A.
wella.org.au.
If you are a woman and you are in Australia, this is for you. If you are listening around the world, I'm sure there are similar things where you are. Google them, look them up. There's so much challenge in this room. If everybody in this room decided that they were going to lead, then and everyone listening around the world decided they were going to lead, that would shift things so remarkably. So stop thinking of yourself as a follower or someone who just has to retweet petitions. You can lead. Get involved. Thank you so much, Victoria. That's incredible. And I'm sure they need money. I'm sure they need money. Victoria, do you need money? Yes, she needs money. Dave, she needs money. You can't just say you're a feminist and listen to a podcast. She doesn't want you leading because we've tried men leading. It hasn't worked out. So she wants your money, Dave. What do you do for a living, Dave? Sorry? IT. Yeah, you got loads of money. So we've come to our closing moment, Melbourne. You have been an incredible audience. I would say you've been the finest audience of your generation. And before we close, I just want to say a huge round of applause to everyone here at Hamer Hall. Everyone at Boehm Presents, who's been producing our tour so incredibly. Alana's here tonight. She's done so much for it. Everyone at Boehm. And Michael, our tour manager. It's been really incredible. We've come to that point in the tour where we're flying in the morning and then we're performing in the evening. And today we got delayed. It's been a rock star day, except we didn't have a private jet. As it would be bad for the environment, Victoria. Can I have a huge, huge, huge round of applause for Georgia Mooney? Eliza Hull? Celia Pecola? Amal Leotalu? And finally, to close the show, the incredible Grace Petrie!
Hello! Sorry, before I came from over there, I saw you all looking over there. I was like, I'm over here. It's very panto. Goodness me. I love doing this show so much. It's the best thing that I do in my career, in my working life. I mean, I just fucking adore it, and it gives me so much hope. I think that hope is the hardest thing to come by these days, you know what I mean? And I think, like, obviously, we've talked a lot about Roe v. Wade tonight, and it is obviously, like Celia, I think all of us are in the same situation as you were articulating so brilliantly there, as like so fucking heartbroken and angry about us going backwards, you know. And I find that, like, on the days that I find it the hardest to keep going with feminism or with, you know, queer rights or with anti-racism or whatever it is, I think the days that it is the hardest to keep hope, those are the days that we fucking need it the most, you know, because they rely on us getting so cynical that we forget that the world can be better. Do you know what I mean? So I wrote a song about that. Oh, thanks. And I promise it is an optimistic song. But it is called The Losing Side. So I'm going to... this is from my new album. I'm gonna teach you the chorus, if that's okay. So we'll do it a line at a time. I'll sing a line, and you are going to repeat the line after me. Are you with me, Melbourne? Cool. Okay, so it goes like this. If I spend my life on the losing side... Try that. If I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. You can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, there's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath,
I can hear her say when I hold my breath. I can hear her say.
That's the chorus. I'm going to do that loads of times, so I'd love it if you'd sing that as loud as you can. Again.
From common grief to Bristol up in flames, we came here begging justice, and instead we got the blame. The peace disturbed out on the streets tonight, watching on the BBC, you know something's not right. When mourners come with candles and with flowers, wrestled three on one and pinned down by the state's full powers. This is their world and these have been the rules. We have come to break it down with bloody fingernails for tools. This threat of violence, this tightrope wire, we can no longer bear it. We're all too fucking tired. No minute silence, we will sing higher. Don't tell us to light a candle when we have come to start a fire. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say she's on her way. She is on her way. And safe at home, you watch it on TV. Never dream that one day you might be the enemy. You might one day be under attack from all that should protect you, hoping someone has your back. The history books are screaming from the shelves. No government who outlaws speaking to defend ourselves has good things planned. A storm ahead I see, and not one of us will bear it without solidarity. Oh, I see trouble all my days. This ailing, failing world sends signs of fire and flood and plague, but from the rubble, from the rays, the mightiest cathedral, from these ashes we will raise. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say, take heart, my sister, this fire will never die. Take heart, my comrades, no one left behind. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her louder, Melvin. If I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say that if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say that she is on her way.
Petrie, everybody!
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, guest host Cindy Pacona, and my very special guests Eliza Hull, Georgia Mooney, and Amaya Leotalou, with music from Grace Petrie. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodger, produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer for The Spontaneity Shop was Tom Selinsky. Thanks to Bjorn Jody and Bone Presents, and everyone at the Arts Centre Melbourne, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
I'm just going to strike these mics. Could a lovely man strike the mics? Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. This is going to be wonderful. You can supervise this. I should have outsourced it, I should have got you to tell him. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amal, that was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.